At this time, there are there's a spiritual side that Pastor shared, but there's also a natural side. There are things that we have to do, and God wants us to take a proactive approach to our health. So we have a guest speaker who's going to share some information with us from a practical standpoint that we can actually walk out today. I'd like to say that she's an expert in her own right. I've heard her present this information, and it is very good. It is very valuable, and I know that you guys are going to really enjoy it today. She is a fitness trainer. She has a degree in kinesiology, and she's just an awesome woman of God. So Tiffany Moore, if you'll come up, and let's give her a hand. And the floor is yours.
Well, good morning. I just want to thank Ms. Melinda and Pastor Moore for giving me this wonderful opportunity to speak to you all. Fitness is my passion. When I decided to go to school, I played basketball, so I really didn't care really what I was majoring in. So I was just trying to figure out something easy. So I thought kinesiology, which is the study of human kinetics, how your body moves, and nutrition, would be something easy. I was proven wrong. My professors were very detailed, and they were very strict on the things that we learned. And I ended up going into being a physical education teacher for 3 years, and that was interesting. After those 3 years, I went to Miami and stayed there for 6 months where my eyes, I guess, were literally open. One thing that I was open to is there are not many black people in Miami. There's more like Hispanic people or Haitian people there. And the people who look black aren't really black. They're like Haitian or Cuban or something else. So I worked in a corporation there. And I learned that for my degree, I could also be a personal trainer too. So I started personal training. As I was personal training, like I said, there wasn't many black people that came and trained with me. But when I did train, more of my Caucasian clients were pumped. Even the older clients that I had who were Caucasians, they were ready to go, they was ready to work out, and they were excited. I had two girls who were African Americans, and they just gave me all kind of complaints. They couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, they didn't feel like doing this, they didn't feel like doing that. So I realized that African Americans, we struggle with the eating part. I also saw that men really didn't care about what they ate. They just ate whatever they felt like to eat. So husband and wives, this is something that you can get out of it. So husbands don't always look to her like, well, you ain't working out like you need to be. He might not be eating like he's supposed to be eating. So that's something that you guys can think about. So as I was going, preparing for it, I was just thinking about some of the things that I was gonna discuss. And it's interesting to me how as you grow up, things become a habit. So don't listen to this, because a lot of times you can hear, you get motivated, and you'll do right for that first week. And then that second week, reality starts to hit in, and you have to push harder and harder to work it out. And I was I went to Dawson Memorial Baptist Church just to get an idea of how they work some of the things. And it's interesting to me that Homewood and the Mound Brook area are the number two or three running. They're known for running. So they're very big in running. So Homewood and Mound Brook, they are constantly having people work out all the time. So they're known around the United States to be runners. Yet at the same time, Alabama is the number two obese state in the United States. So that was interesting to me. So as you listen to what I'm talking about, listen with your natural ears and listen with your spiritual ears. I know for me it was a journey, because you can almost get to the point where you feel like you can do it on your own. Like, oh, if I eat right, if I do this, and you almost become, think highly of yourself. Oh, it was my power, it was my might, I chose to do this, I chose to do that. But you also have to think, too, the spiritual side, that we do have the Holy Spirit who can help us. So a lot of times we try to say, okay, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. And then we'll fall back into it, and then we feel bad that we fell back into it. But remember that you also have the Holy Spirit as well. All right, so we're going to go into my slideshow. We're going to start talking about the modern world. But when you guys were younger, what was some of the things that you were eating when you were younger? Can I get somebody to raise your hand and tell me what were some of the things that you would eat when you were younger? Donuts. The six-pack donuts. Okay. Yes, Ms. Toy. Now and laters, okay. What about the meals? Like, what type of meals were you eating? Fried chicken, Miss Carol. Peas and beans. Okay, one more. Okay. She said collard green with fatback. So we still kind of eat like that nowadays, but we've changed that a little bit in the modern world. When you guys were younger, growing up, some of y'all, maybe not most of y'all, but some of y'all, you sat down at the dinner table, you ate your meal, you took your time, and you enjoyed the family time, and you ate your food. Now in the modern world, everything is quick, 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 quick. What can I get quick? What can I pick up quick? So everything is quick. So if you'll go to the next slide. All right, so now, because we have become so used to doing everything quick, a lot of the stuff that we do, we've built up a lot of the modern diseases. So diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and depression are primarily caused by this quick diet that we are pretty much picking up now. The weight gain and obesity epidemic is a result of unhealthy, overprocessed, sweetened, refined, and fake foods. Now, as we talk today, we are going to talk about obesity, but I don't want you to just think about weight. I want you to think about eating healthy, because overall, it's a health fitness, not just weight gain, weight loss fitness. Excessive stress. I know a lot of people have jobs where it's very stressful, and that can halt or slow down your weight. If you're trying to lose weight, if you're under a lot of stress, you tend to eat more. So, or you tend to not eat at all. And we're going to talk about that as well. So, next slide. All right. As you heard Pastor Moore say, the heart disease is at the top, is one of the top, but heart disease is the number one leading cause of death in the United States. Stroke is the third leading cause of death. Together, they are the most widespread and costly health problems in the nation. One thing I do admire about Michelle Obama is she understands that it costs a lot of money for health issues. So she's really trying to hit that aspect for younger kids as well as for adults, because she understands that more than $500 billion is used just on health-related expenses alone. Fortunately, they are also among the most preventable health conditions as well. Now, the leading risk factors for heart disease and stroke, like how do you get heart disease and how do you get strokes? A lot of it is high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cigarette smoking, diabetes, poor diet and physical activity, overweight and obesity. So as you see, you might not have heart disease, but if you continue to let your high blood pressure be high or have high cholesterol and continue to have a poor diet, you can end up to having heart disease and stroke. Next slide. All right, this is a picture of a heart. And around it is fat cells around it. So we're going to talk about being overweight, but we're going to also talk about internal obesity as well. You could be skinny, but yet fat at the same time. And this is a picture of a heart that has a whole bunch of fat cells around it. So if your heart is trying to function, but it has a whole bunch of fat around it, as you can see, that's hard for that heart, and it's going to take a lot of it. So a lot of times you will lead to a stroke because your heart is trying to overwork itself. Next slide. All right, so earlier we talked about that the weight gain, obesity, and disease epidemic is a result of unhealthy, overprocessed, sweetened, refined, and fake foods we call junk foods. So I didn't want to talk about what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat. I want to talk about stuff that we do that's practical. Because some of you guys, you might not think that you're doing anything unhealthy, but, you know, it can end up being that. So we're going to talk about junk food today, all of the unhealthy, overprocessed, sweetened, refined foods. Next slide. All right, so what is junk food? Can anybody tell me what junk food is? Cookies, potato chips, ice cream. All right, next slide. This junk right here is food. So you see Kit Kats, Skittles, Twix, Hi-C, Doritos. Now, need I mind you, like Pastor Mike said, his parents rewarded him with food. And we do that with our children nowadays. We give them Kit Kats and Snickers and Twix. So that's something that you can keep in mind if you have children as well. Next slide. All right, junk foods are referred to as empty calories because they have high energy but lack in micronutrients such as vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fiber. So you can be eating food, and a lot of times you can be tired only for the simple fact that you're not getting food that has the proper nutrients in it. So when you're eating food, you're eating for energy, okay? Next slide. All right, in medical terms, junk food may be defined as any of the prepackaged snack foods high in calorie content but low in nutritional value. Like I said, if you just look at the products, a lot of the things that you eat, if it's high in fat, if it's high in sugar, then a lot of times it doesn't have a lot of nutritional values to it. If you look at the bottom of the nutritional label, it'll tell you how much you're getting in vitamin A, vitamin B, C, and a lot of times if it's low, then it doesn't have a lot of nutritional value. They did a study with McDonald's where they got a hamburger and a fry, I think it was like in 2008, and they left it there overnight. No flies touched it, no bugs touched it, nothing touched it, and it stayed in the exact same spot because it understands that it doesn't have any nutritional value to it, so the bugs didn't even want it. All right, next slide. All right. So examples of some junk foods could be salted snack foods like Lay's potato chips that we love so much, or it could be candy, gum, most sweet desserts, fried fast food, carbonated beverages. Those are some of the major junk foods. And like I said, they lack in protein, vitamins, and minerals. Next slide. All right, so a lot of times people feel that fast food is quick and it's easy and it's time consuming. I mean, it takes less time for you when you have fast food, but the reality is that fast foods are convenient. The time and cost efficient to consume now, but the expense that you pay and the damage that you cause to your body is way more expensive than none. A lot of the doctor visits with people who have diabetes issues or stroke issues, their bills are really, really high. So you have to keep that in mind that it's convenient now. And when I talk about fast foods, I'm talking about pre-processed foods too. So those packaged dinners that you want to make that are quick, those too are not as healthy for you as well. The vast majority of the food industry focuses on minimizing profit by selling cheap to produce foods and drinks. So McDonald's and Burger King and different other fast foods, they understand that they can get cheap foods, but if it's quick to you all, that you guys are just eating and won't think anything about it. They do taste nice. They are good. I noticed in Miami that money was not on my side, so a dollar cheeseburger and a dollar french fry was my meal, so $2 right there for a whole meal, and I would be fine. But like I said, it pays off in the end. All right, so how bad can they really be for my health? Fast foods contain toxic amount of sugar, so it has loads and loads of sugar. Insulin is released to get sugar out of the blood system. Insulin removes the sugar from the bloodstream and puts it into storage when it's too much sugar. So if you have too much sugar, if you're eating a lot of the fast foods, which you would say have lots of amounts of sugar, if you're eating too much sugar, it'll turn it into fat, okay? So keep in mind the picture of their heart with the fat around it. Your body becomes an efficient fat storage machine, okay? And the people who regularly eat fast food are more likely to develop metabolic syndrome. So that's basically a symptom, or when you have metabolic syndrome, that means that you have all the risk factors for high blood pressure, diabetes, and such things as that. So remember that when you are eating food, your body is using that as fuel for energy. So if you have too much sugar, it'll turn into a fat. Next slide. All right, so the reality check. Next slide. This will be the average size for kids in 2030 if we don't change eating habits now. One thing that I did notice in the school system, because we had to work in Shelby County, we worked in the Hoover City, we worked in Jefferson County, and I worked in Birmingham. One thing that I learned most is that the Caucasian kids, they were used to it. So they would have celery and peanut butter, they would have carrots, they would have fruit. And African American kids would have high C punch drinks, they would have M&Ms, they would have Big Texas honey buns. And the reality is, if we don't change how our kids eat now, because like I said, kids are going to reflect what you do. And people who are pregnant, that's why I'm a big believer of when you're pregnant, you should also be monitoring what you're eating as well. When you're pregnant, a lot of the stuff that you can, a lot of the issues that goes on in your pregnancy can lead off into your childhood, your children's childhood. Next slide. All right. So like I said, I don't want you to just think of being overweight. I want you to think of you can be skinny, and this says, could you possibly be what we call skinny fat? It says, despite a normal body mass index and a thin appearance, slim people may be at risk of disease because of internal fat surrounding their vital organs. Shown here is a 6-foot man. He has a normal BMI, which is 21/7, but his internal fat is large. So a lot of times I don't want to just focus on people who are overweight, because you can be skinny. And that's why I said a lot of men, they don't care about what they eat. They just eat and they feel like, you know, they can work it off or do whatever it is. But nutrition is one of the most valuable things when you are when you're living your life. And that's why a lot of times men don't live as long as women because of their eating habits. Next slide. So to maintain a healthy body, it is essential that you follow a balanced diet. So what is a balanced diet? A balanced diet comprises all the basic nutrients that your body requires. So basically, like I said, I'm not talking about diet as far as trying to lose weight. I'm talking about diet as far as making sure you have the basic nutrients in your body. Next slide. All right, so what causes overeating? Cocaine or heroin-like effect. One thing when I was researching, it was saying that people who overeat have the same effect as people who are cocaine or heroin addicts. It gives off the same endorphins. So a lot of times people who are cocaine or heroin addict, they're addicted to it and they want to do it over and over and over again. It's similar to the same way of overeating. When you overeat, you send the same endorphins as cocaine and heroin addicts. So that's just something to keep in mind, too. All right, so what are some of the patterns of behavior that contribute to overeat? Self-sabotage. And in here, it has a lady going into the refrigerator late at night. A lot of times, we try to nibble and dabble on certain things, like a bag of potato chips. Like, you might say, okay, well, I'm just going to get a little bit now. And then 30 minutes, oh, I'm just going to get a little bit. I'm just getting a little bit. Then 30 minutes later, oh, okay, I'm just going to get a little bit more. And by that time, you've pretty much eaten half of the bag. Instead of just getting a portion out and sticking to that portion. So those little nibbles can help. Those can sabotage you overeating unhealthy foods. Also, a lot of times when you're at work, you have little snacks in your little cubicles. That can lead to overeating as well. All right, your belief system. Now, a lot of times when he was talking about your attitude, a lot of times people feel like, well, I'm big boned, this is how I'm gonna be the rest of my life. My family big boned, my mama big boned, my grandma was big boned, we just big people, and it's just how we're gonna be for the rest of our life. That can sabotage you for overeating. So a lot of times people will overeat because they feel like that's what they're gonna be anyways, and they don't try to change it. And then other times people who are trying to lose weight, they'll get to a point where they'll make it a habit of trying to I have to do it. And they can come to a point where they overdo it or they eat less, because you can not eat enough and your body will store the fat. So you want to make sure that you have the right amount of food. My recommendation is 6 meals a day, and that includes breakfast, snack, which can be like apples, cheese, lunch, then another snack, and then dinner, and then another snack. If you eat 6 meals a day, you will not be hungry. And if you're eating 6 meals a day, you eat smaller portions. You will stay filled up. So that's just something to keep in mind, too. The blame game, like I said, we want to blame other people for our circumstances, for what we put in our mouths. So don't make that an excuse to why you eat unhealthy foods. Next slide. All right, what are the impacts of the junk food to the body? This is the impact. And on top of it, of the water is a hamburger, and underneath it is a belly. Next slide. All right. Like I said, that our bodies is a fat storage machine. So the body can never use its own fat. So where it gets its energy from is the food that we eat. And I was teaching this to one of to the workers here. And they were saying that they didn't really, it, I guess it didn't hit them that what we eat is what gives them energy. So if you are eating food, like we said, the junk food, it doesn't have the proper nutrients in it. So if you're just eating junk food, that could be the cause for why you're tired. That could be the cause for why you don't have energy. So when you're eating, be conscious that you're not just eating to satisfy yourself. You're eating so that you can have energy to run off of. Systematic inflammation. The body retains more water to protect its cells from anti-nutrients in the food. So a lot of times you can have water weight, so your body will retain the water. Over time, our body becomes systematically inflamed, threatening the heart and the cardiovascular system. So if you're not giving your body the proper nutrients that it needs, it will retain water, and it can cause your heart and your cardiovascular system to be at risk. Internal starvation. The body asks for more food because it's not getting the nutrients it needs. So a lot of times you're overeating, and not realizing that your body's going to keep asking for more food because it's not getting the proper nutrients. And then also too, water. He was talking about drinking a lot of water. Your body gives out the same signal when it's dehydrated. If you are not getting enough water, your body thinks that it's hungry, but what it really needs is water. So the recommendation for that is you drink half of your body weight in ounces. You drink half of it in that. So I tell my class that 8 is the minimum. So if you're not getting 8, then you're starving your body from the proper water that it needs. So water is very important. Next slide. All right, so how does the body process food? In order for the body to function, we need to take energy in the form of food. So fuel, like I said, is what we run off of. So the stomach and intestines process the food that we eat, enabling us to take up energy. And then the muscle uses this energy to produce movement. So if you're lifting weights, you want to make sure you have the right amount of food in it as well. Accumulation of fat tissue is our body's way of storing any excess energy. So like I said, that the sugar that it runs off of, after so long, it'll turn into fat if it's too much of it. Synchronization of these four steps is controlled by our hormones. So as she was telling us earlier, some of this stuff, it could be you have to change the way you are, the way you do things, but you might have to see your doctor because your hormones could be out of whack. So that could be something that could be a problem as well. So next slide. But like I said, we're not going to be focusing on that. We're just going to focus on the eating for right now. So tell me what to do. All right, say no to junk food. That's one of the big things. Now, I tell people it's not going to be a point where you're never going to not eat junk food. That's just not the reality of it. You're going to eat junk food. The thing is just portion control and what you're eating and how you're eating it. Next slide. All right, so how do you create a team? Now that we've given you all of this information, you're probably wondering, how do you change your routine? The answer isn't a quick fix. So like I said, it's not going to happen overnight. If you've been doing this for years, since you were little, you're not just going to wake up one day and then just be like, oh, I'm going to eat healthy, and it just goes on. It's a habit that you have to build onto. So you need to slowly incorporate the changes into your daily life until the point they become a habit, a point of your lifestyle. So like I said, today we're trying to make it a lifestyle, not a quick fix, not a diet. We want it to be a lifestyle. So here's some of the things that you can do. Choose one category from the list on the left. So on this list, we have eat right, we have exercise, we have sleep more, and we have fun. The reason why I have fun is because sometimes people can be working out and eating a lot, but they don't enjoy it, and it becomes a habit. So you want to make sure you're having fun when you're doing it as well. Now, once you've chose one of those categories, so let's choose sleep more. Make 3 specific goals for the categories that you choose. So one of them could be, okay, I'm going to make sure I get all of my work done by 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock, I can be in the bed so that I can get 8 hours of sleep, okay? Or if you choose eat right, you don't have to be dramatic with it, but if you're not drinking enough water for 1 month, try to at least just drink water and see how you can adjust to that. So make sure that it's slowly, okay? Aim for specific and measurable goals. Don't let it be unrealistic, okay? Don't say you're never going to eat junk food for the rest of your life, because that's an unrealistic goal. You will eat junk food again. But just remember that it's a lifestyle, and remember that life will get in the way once or twice. So Thanksgiving is going to come, and you're going to have some sweet potato pie. Christmas is going to come. You're going to have some eggnog. So that's the reality of it. But don't get demotivated if you cheat a bit, okay? So some people feel like, oh, if I cheat, then I might as well keep eating unhealthy because I'm cheating and eating bad. Remember, it's a lifestyle. And then you want to also change your routine to prevent boredom. So once you've chosen one category, so say after you choose Eat Right and you do that for like a month, then go to exercise, okay? Take it step by step. It does not have to all be at one time. And I think that's what a lot of people get into problems with. They try to change their eating and do all the exercise and then sleep more all at the same time. It can become overwhelming. So start slowly. Next slide. All right. The next thing that you can do is eat breakfast. I say breakfast is the most important meal that you can eat in a day. And I have people tell me all the time, well, I just don't like to eat breakfast. It's just not me. I just don't like breakfast. Next slide. So how can we change it? Here are some of the common excuses for not eating breakfast. No time. So how much time do you need to eat a bowl of cereal? We say we don't have time, but how much time do you need to eat more, to eat a bowl of cereal or to eat some fruit? If you feel that you don't have a time, make some toast and eat it on your way to work, or you can make it the night before. How can you make it the night before? Go ahead and have it out so you can have it ready for you to eat. But breakfast is one of the most important meals of the day. The next one is I'm not hungry. A lot of times you wake up and you are just not hungry. But you have to remember that if you go into bed, let's say 10 o'clock, your body is going hours and hours without having food. So you have to keep that in mind. My rule of thumb that when you wake up, you should be eating within that hour that you wake up. To get started, don't eat anything after an early supper. Finish supper by at least 7:30 p.m. And I know, like I said, that's challenging for me. We're here till 9 o'clock at night, so it can be challenging. My rule of thumb is, and this is what I do, I prepare my meals on Sundays, and it lasts me throughout the week. So I go grocery shopping on Sundays, and if you're a parent, this could be helpful for you as well. But if you're busy and you're constantly working and you don't have time to cook it on Sundays. Sundays is pretty much a free day. So what I do is I cook my meals on Sundays for breakfast. Well, not for breakfast, but for lunch and for dinner. And then I'll either put it in the freezer or put it in the refrigerator. And then when I come home, I'll already have it ready. A lot of times when you're coming home from work and you're tired, you just don't feel like doing it. And so you'll go to the quick fix of McDonald's or pizza or something that's quick that you can have. So if you go ahead and prepare your foods ahead of time, then you won't be subject to do that. And then if you can, if you're working, you see that you're going to be there late at night, bring your lunch with you or bring your dinner with you. And then that way, all you have to do is go to the microwave, heat it up, and then you'll have your dinner there. I know for a lot of corporations, eating out for lunch is one of the biggest things to do, and it's easy to do it because your coworkers are going to, you have lunch dates and lunch meetings. But get to a habit, if you can, to bring in your lunch and dinner, and that will help you if you are the type to eat late at night. All right, next slide. Another one, some people feel they might gain weight, but when you eat breakfast, it actually helps you maintain your healthy weight. If anything, I would say eat more for breakfast than you do for dinner. Breakfast is something that you can eat more food for because you have the rest of the day to burn it off. So when you're eating a big meal at nighttime, like he said earlier, you're just resting on it. So you want a light dinner, but breakfast is something that you can splurge more of. And a lot of it is not people, they don't have the time to do it. A lot of it is just, they just don't want to do it. They don't want to wake up early. They don't want to take the time to eat breakfast. And then the last one is some people just don't like eating breakfast. If it's in your best interest to eat breakfast, so take the step to do it. It's the right thing to do, so take the step to do it. And like I said, it's time consuming, and if you have kids, you have to keep the kids ready for school, and you have to have your quiet time and different things like that, but you have to make time to eat breakfast in the morning. Next slide. Also, another way to help you is keep a food diary, and I know a lot of people don't like to do this, but when you keep a food diary, it lets you see what you're eating, because a lot of times people will be like, oh, well, I'm eating right, I'm doing right, but then they write it down, and they see what they're eating. They see that they're either not eating enough food or they're eating too much food. So a food diary, if you just do it for 1 week, it lets you see what you're doing and what you're not doing. Also, too, with that, if you notice that when you write down stuff, a lot of times people are not eating enough food, and your body would just retain the fat if you're not eating enough food. Yes.
Hey, Tiff, a lot of times people think they got to eat grits, eggs, the traditional breakfast.
Right.
Is there something that you like to eat that can be your breakfast? For instance, my wife doesn't eat eggs. And so she doesn't eat grits. So as a result, she may choose something else, but she's eating a meal for breakfast.
For breakfast, I would recommend for me, and I had to grow to like it, but oatmeal is one of the best things that you can eat. I really didn't care for it, but like I said, you have to do stuff that you really don't care for. But oatmeal has fiber, so it leaves you fuller. So eating oatmeal, and instant oatmeal isn't as good as the steel-cut oatmeal. So steel-cut oatmeal, if you're eating oatmeal, and like I said, it's not the best taste in the world, but it leaves you full. Also, you can also do like a lunch style breakfast. So chicken in the morning with spinach, and then like she said, if she doesn't like to eat the eggs and different things like that, cereal. I'm not really a big fan of cereal, but if she has to, then cereal be something like that. But just find something that she can be comfortable with eating in the morning time and she's consistent with it. So my recommendation would be oatmeal and eggs is something I do in the morning time. But like you said, you can't have grits and eggs and bacon every morning. So find something that you can do in the morning time that will help you last throughout the day. Did that answer your question? Okay. All right, next question. And if you have any other questions, just, you know, raise your hand and then I'll answer them the best way I know how. Food shopping, like I said, plan ahead. If you have a iPhone, they have apps in there. They have a Fresh Market app, and I want to say they have a Whole Foods app where you can go in there and they'll give you meals to eat for the day, and they'll give you how to calculate what you're eating, and then you can write down some of the things that you need to eat. Have a shopping list, because when you go in the grocery store and you're hungry, you're just going to pick up like a lot of stuff. So have a shopping list of the things that you want to eat. Empower yourself about what you're going to eat for the rest of the week. Make sure that it's quality food that's available for you. Like if you're going to snack at work, just make sure it's good quality food. And we're going to talk about that in a minute too. Next slide. All right. I know a lot of people don't like to look at the food labels, but if you do look at the food labels and you see that it's high in vegetable oil, or if you see that it's high in sugar, or if you see that it has a lot of corn syrup, or if it has a lot of vegetable oil, different things like that, then more than likely that's a junk food that you don't want to put into your body. You want more nutritional value. So a lot of those foods that if they're high in fructose and corn syrup and different things like that, that's something that you want to limit off of. Next slide. All right, so is there any junk food that can be good for you? Next. Yes, so the first one is dark chocolate, and I'm not really a big fan of dark chocolate, but dark chocolate is a good junk food for you. It contains flavonoids, and that's an important antioxidant that helps lower your blood pressure. So if you're going to do dark chocolate, look at it anything that's above 70%. And when you look at the labels, you'll see a lot of them have 72% cocoa or different things like that. So dark chocolate is something that's good, and it's the alternative. For whatever reason, if you don't like it, then almonds are a good fat. Almonds are high in fat, but it's a good fat at the same time. So you can incorporate almonds in it as well. So like I said, at the end of the day, portion control is the main key. Next slide. All right, so you're going now they're doing where you can have alternatives for French fries. So they have sweet potato fries where you can do sweet potato fries. Baking sweet potato fries coated in olive oil can be a great way to turn a traditional junk food into a healthy side dish. Now, a lot of times people like to do the butters and the margarines and different things like that. When you start off with butter, what is it? It's solid, okay? And then when you cook it, it turns into a liquid. But then when it gets back into your body, it turns what? Solid. So keep that in mind when you are cooking with that, so olive oil is a good way to substitute that. Sweet potatoes contain high levels of fiber, and like I said, fiber, it keeps you fuller. So when you have fiber foods, it keeps you fuller, and it helps regulate your bowel movements as well. So it's getting stuff out as well as keeping you fuller. Studies show that nutrients and antioxidants in sweet potatoes can actually help reduce the risk of cancer. So sweet potatoes is something that I did not like, but sweet potatoes are actually good for you, and you don't have to add added sugar to it, the brown sugar. If you just do sweet potatoes by itself, it's sweet enough to eat, just sweet potato by itself. So that's one thing that I use with my clients. If they want to do something and feel full off of it, sweet potatoes is a good way to go. Next slide. All right, air pop potato chips. I told the workers at church about these, and they went off like wildfire. But pop chips, I've had these before. I've had the barbecue flavor and the salt and vinegar flavor. You can't find them in Walmart or Publix, but they're at Target, and they're at Walgreens. But air pop chips are potato chips that are made without the artificial preservatives or corn oil. Because they are bulkier, they take up more room in the bag, so when you get them, you're not going to get as many, but it takes up more room. But just remember, it's easy to eat the whole bag. Just remember you have to do portion control as well. But pop chips, they're really light and they're really good. But remember, portion control, portion control, portion control. All right, next slide. All right, ice cream. Double churned ice cream. Double churned ice cream contains more air, but it's still just as creamy as traditional ice cream. So if you're gonna do ice cream, do double churned ice cream. It's less likely to have artificial sweeteners. Now, when you're doing it, make sure you do half a cup of double churned ice cream, and that contains about 100 calories, which is less than many brands of frozen yogurt. And sometimes those frozen yogurts can be high in sugar. So just make sure when you're looking for it, look for slow churned or slow cold for ice cream. All right, next. So remember, at the end of the day, you are what you eat. And I thought this was a cool picture to let you see that your body is basically what you eat. I don't know if y'all ever seen those commercials where the lady, her little boy is running around on the soccer field and he's like a big french fry or something like that. So remember that when you're feeding your kids, that you are what you eat. Next slide. So that pretty much ends our food portion of it. At the end of the day, I really want to just emphasize, like I said, you have to make it a habit, and it's going to come slowly but surely. But make sure that when you're doing it, if you are going to eat a junk food or if you're going to eat something that's high in fat, just make sure you have portion control of it and make sure you do it that way. All right, so we're going to conclude the eating part of it, and then we're going to go now into strength training. And I wanted to emphasize the food portion first because we have a lot of people who work out, but if you don't watch what you eat, then it's almost like you're working out, I don't want to say for nothing, but it's you canceling it out in a sense. So you want to just make sure, even though you are working out, to make sure that you are eating healthy as well. All right, so now we're going to talk about strength training and why strength training is important. A review of evidence-based studies by the New York of Medicine found that an investment of $10 per person in programs for nutrition and exercise would save Medicare $5 billion, and it would save Medicaid $1.9 billion in the next 5 years. So if we just invested $10 per person in programs for nutrition and exercise, we would save over $5 million and $1.9 billion in the next 5 years. Like I said, that's one of the things why Michelle Obama is big on exercising, because she understands that it's costly when we are unhealthy. Next slide. All right, so strength training. I have also noticed that when I talk about strength training, most women shy from it because they don't want to feel like they're getting bulky or anything like that. But when you lift weights, you're actually burning more calories when you're lifting weights. So if you're trying to lose weight, then weightlifting is important for it. But there's also some other benefits for strength training as well. It's not just getting bulky. Research has proven that strength training exercise is effective for women and men who are not in the perfect health. So a lot of times people might have problems with weight training, lifting weights. You're going to be burning more calories, but it's not as high as doing some of the other stuff. People with health concerns such as heart disease or diabetes profit the most when implementing a program that includes weights. A lot of the doctors recommend, especially if you have diabetes, to include weights in your program. A lot of I've had a lady come in my class when we would do strength training. She said that she's seen an improvement in her diabetes only from lifting weights. So lifting weights is very valuable. Next slide. All right, what are the benefits of strength training? Strengthening of the bones. Postmenopausal women can lose 1 to 2% of their bone mass annually. Results from a study conducted at Tufts University show that strength training increases bone density and reduces the risk for fractures among women aged 50 to 70. As you get older, I like to recommend for people, especially as you get older, to make sure you lift weights because it will help with your bone density and it'll help you reduce fractures. A lot of times, older people will fall a lot of times and they'll mess up their bones, but weightlifting is very valuable in that because it helps you with your balance and different things like that. Next slide. Improving glucose control. More than 14 million Americans have type 2 diabetes. In addition, diabetes is also the leading cause of blindness in older adults. Fortunately, studies now show that lifestyle changes such as strength training have a profound impact on helping older adults manage their diabetes. It said that in a study of Hispanic men and women, 16 weeks of strength training produced dramatic improvements in glucose control that are comparable to taking diabetes medication. So a lot of this stuff, like I said, weightlifting is considered a medicine in some ways to help prevent that. So weightlifting will help you improve your glucose control levels. Next slide. Healthy heart tissue. Strength training is important for cardiac health because heart disease risk is lower when the body is leaner. So we said that heart disease is the number one leading cause. So when you have a healthy heart, you're at lower risk for having cardiac problems. So it said that people who cardiac patients gain not only strength and flexibility, but also aerobic capacity when they did strength training 3 times a week as part of their workout program. And like I said, it's just a start. You're just starting off. So if you could just at least do 2 to 3 times a week weights, you will see an improvement on it. And the American Heart Association recommends strength training as a way to reduce risk of heart disease and as a therapy for patients in cardiac rehabilitation programs. So American Heart Association has also seen the importance of strength training. Next slide. Sleep improvement. I tell my class, if you work out and you lifting weights, you should never have a problem with sleeping. Sleeping should never be an issue for you, especially if you're working out and lifting weights. Being that, especially if you work out in the morning time and you go to work, by the time you come home, you will be tired. So lifting weights, people who exercise regularly enjoy improved sleep quality. And that sleep quality, you might be getting sleep, but it might not be quality sleep. So a lot of times you could be asleep, but you're not into what we call a deep sleep, so you're not really getting quality sleep out of it. But when you lift weights, you're more likely to fall asleep quicker, to sleep deeply, and awaken less often. As with depression, the sleep benefits obtained as a result of strength training are comparable to treatment with medication, but without the side effects of the expense. So like I said, strength training is a medicine. So it's a medicine for glucose, it's a medicine for depression or sleeping. So lifting weights is something that will make you go to sleep. Next slide. All right, restoration of balance and reduction of falls. Like I said earlier, people, as people age, they tend to have poor balance. In my class, just standing on one leg as you get older, for some people, it's a challenge. So when you lift weights, you're more likely to have less falls and broken bones. Strengthening exercises, when done properly and through the full range of motion, increases a person's flexibility and balance, which decreases the likelihood of falls. So I recommend, as you get older, to make sure you're lifting weights so that you can reduce falls. Next. So as we come to a close, can anybody tell me what is the number one enemy to good health? Okay, next slide. Procrastination. All right, next. So let's stop putting it off and make time today. As as I said, as I was training, a lot of it isn't the fact that they couldn't do it. They just didn't feel like doing it. So procrastination and not wanting to do it is the number one cause for why people don't have good health. They just don't want to do it. So stop putting it off and say that you can't and then do it. Our gym is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 for evening people. And then in the morning time, we're open from 8 to 11. And in the years to come, we're going to have more hours of operation. But we have strength training classes, and we have aerobic classes for you to come. And if you don't like classes, you can just go on a treadmill and work out. And it's a good way to meet other people. It's a good way to get to know who's coming to your church. My Zumba class, some of the Zumba women are in here. Any Zumba women? We have a good time, and it's a good way to know your church members. It's fun, it's active, and it's really good. So if you ever get a chance, if you can't come to the bridge, just go somewhere and start and be active in it. So now that we have talked about the eating part and the weight part, we're going to put some of it to use. So we're going to go to 217, and we're going to go work out. It's not going to be anything that you can't handle. It's going to be something fun and easy, but we're going to go over there to 217, and then we're going to have a Zumba session. Now, I say that real men Zumba, so men don't think that you guys can't Zumba. It's a good way to interact with your wife and have fun, but it's just dancing. So we're going to go over there, and we're going to do that for the remainder of the time. So if you will go back out, and we're going to go to the Teen Dome and have a quick workout. Teen Dome.
Hey guys, did you enjoy that? Well, let's give yourselves a hand. We're gonna let people give a couple more minutes for people to get here. Well, a couple of people have asked me why I didn't participate today, so I feel like I owe you an explanation. I have been under attack all week, medically speaking. I have asthma. This is the worst time of the year for me. I've had to have breathing treatments almost every day. So I'm winded even when I'm walking, and that's the only reason that I didn't participate. But you can agree with me that the weather would go ahead and make the transition and that my breathing would be fine in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give Tiffany a hand as well. Tiffany is going to share some additional information with you, and then Pastor is going to give closing remarks, and then we're free to go. You did get a survey when you came in. That survey provides us with feedback so that we will know how to serve you better and plan better for 2013. So as you leave, if you'll complete those surveys and turn them in at the front desk. Amen? All right, Tiffany, and then Pastor Mike.
So you guys saw that working out is fun, and when you laugh, you're burning more calories. But we have classes Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, it's more of a boot camp. We have weights, and we work out. It's a tough class, so you will be challenged. And then on Thursdays at 6 o'clock, we do Zumba. In the next year, we're going to be working on opening classes up more, and we're going to be working on having more classes. So if you are an aerobic instructor and you would like to help out, or if you know someone, that would be of great help. But Tuesdays and Thursdays for now. Next week, we will be closed because of election. So next week, we will be closed. We will open back up the week after. Okay? Thank you. Ma'am? Yes, both days at 6 o'clock. Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. You all enjoyed that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we did a little seminar like this for the employees, and then the next week, I think you had some employees that came to the Zumba. And so Tiffany's been trying to get me to come to Zumba, and so I didn't want to go in there. But I think I'm gonna check her out now. I kind of got a feel for what it is, so I think I'm gonna go and check it out. But I want to encourage you to take advantage of it. I think it's just good to be around other folk when you're exercising. Sometimes you need a partner. Sometimes you need somebody to help you. I was doing the weight things, and I came over here, and I had already made up my mind that I'm not going another day. And Pete had, we used the same car that day, and I had all my gear in the car. And as I drove up the hill, I was praying, I hope Pete ain't here. I hope she gone. And when I got over, I found out she was still here. But I still had made up my mind that I still wasn't going to do it. And when I walked through the door, Tiff, I said, well, I don't think I'm going to do it today. And Tiff said, I knew you were going to say that. So she kind of got on me real good. So I went in the weight room. She went in there with me. We jogged a little bit first and went in there. And then after it was over, I felt good that I had done it. But if it had been up to me, I would have talked myself out of it. So it's good to have somebody else with you, pushing you, and somebody else that you're exercising with, because we sometimes need some partnership. I heard the word is out that Tiffany kind of works you kind of hard. But I can handle anything she'd show out. I ain't much worried about that little old stuff right there. But, you know, you can go at your own pace, can't you? Yeah, because somebody, I ain't going to call her name, she'd do 30 minutes and walk out. But anyway, I want to encourage you to do that. This day was a health day. And I'm kind of glad it ended on that kind of note. But I want you to take it serious. I believe God put it on our hearts so that we can continue to confess the word, continue to meditate in the word, continue to believe what the word says, but also do our part in terms of the exercise and the eating and all the things. You don't have to be perfect. She kept emphasizing portion control, portion control, portion control. And then we talked about a little at a time, making adjustments a little at a time. But leave here today and make you some adjustments. Move toward your doing better as it relates to your health and your well-being. Amen. I love you very much. We won't get together again until next year. But I pray that you have a great holiday season, Thanksgiving, great Christmas season, that you enjoy yourself and have a great time. And again, I thank you so very much for all that you've done for Faith Chapel. And God, keep good books. Amen. Anything you have? I'm going to pray over you and thank all the staff and all the team for helping us out today. Father, in Jesus' name, as we exit today, we thank you for the opportunity that you've afforded us to fellowship with these leaders, and we just speak life over them and blessing over them and increase over them and prosperity over them and success over them. Father, pray in Jesus' name that something has been said or done that will make an impact on them in terms of health and wholeness, and we declare that they'll live long, healthy lives. We all will. In Jesus' name, amen.